Heavenly Father, we thank you that according to your word that you are perfecting that which concerns each of your children. Now, please open our eyes, the eyes of our understanding, to hear what you say by your Spirit through your word in this message. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember, saints, now that Jesus has found and saved you into his eternal family, your life is no longer your own. You have been bought with the price. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20 says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple, the dwelling place of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" Let's personalize it. I am not my own. I am Christ's property now. I'm the property of God, bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the highest price ever paid. Then verse 20, 1 Corinthians 6, "For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." I'm going to encourage you to meditate and become very familiar with 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. So now that we've been bought by the blood of Jesus, translated, Colossians 1, out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his marvelous light, we're bought by this precious blood of Jesus, and our lives, glory to God, are over. That includes all the evil and the mess and the misery and the guilt and the shame that came along with our sin, because the wages of sin is death, spiritual death. And many of you listening are becoming more and more those who are denying yourself. You're learning to walk with Jesus every day. It's not a Sunday thing for you. It's a 24/7, 365. And if you're like me, when you go to dip your little toe, even just your little toe, into some temptation, and then your mouth becomes filled with gravel, that's an illustration of great remorse and regret, the muddling, the dirtying, the shame, the guilt, the travail that you go through because of the conviction, because you've embarked on saying, "Lord, I love you with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength." And some of you have even confided with me as your brother in Christ and said, "I'm asking God to help me love him more." And you're inspiring all those around you. And as I told a brother this week, sin is not going to work out if you're born again and you haven't forsaken Christ. You're fighting the good fight of faith. Sin's never going to work out good for you. It's never going to work out good for me or anybody. Are we beginning to mature and grow up in Christ with sincere, pure hearts crying out for the cleansing of everything in our lives, inside and out, and the full circumference of everything, that it would be removed from us, that we would no longer even have a taste for it, that we would live separate from sin by this doctrine of the cross that Paul speaks about in Romans chapter 6, and that's how we are made free, saints. Nobody is getting free outside of the crucified life. Let me say that one more time. No one is getting free of any sin outside of the crucified life. It's amazing how many people, preachers even, that are talking about sin, but never talking about the only solution God gave to overcome sin. And that's going to be the crucified life. It's at the heart, the center of the original gospel. In fact, anyone preaching anything but the cross, that is the daily crucified life for overcoming sin and living in resurrection victory in Christ, is misleading you. On social media, you see these ads come up catering to men about being delivered from the P word. Fornication is porneus, I believe, in the Greek. The first four letters there, we all know what that P word, I mean, it's sad, but none of them, literally like none of them, are offering the crucified life as the only solution to sin, because that's in the Bible and they can't get paid. They're a business.
Oh, I know. They put on a good show and act like they're really sincerely concerned about these men overcoming. But if they were true to God, they would not be offering those men a placebo for their own self-serving financial gain. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, the Bible says there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So we can be completely sincere about something and at the same time completely sincerely dead wrong if it's not the Word of God, which in this case it is not. There is no solution divinely given to us to overcome sin except the crucified life.
They want to sign all these men up to basically just perpetuate them in the same sin. I've known numerous men, they've confided in me, and they get on these programs. It never works out. Let me say it again. Never. Why? Because there is no solution but the cross, the crucified life. See, you're being lied to and made merchandise of, and it's out of your own rebellion that you're not saying, Lord, I want to be delivered of every sin inside and out. Let me be cleansed. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 says this. It says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all, not some, but all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, we have a hard time finding somebody that's a preacher these days that's going to preach on holiness, much less perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Perfecting it. The Bible says, he that abideth in Christ sinneth not. Those that have vital union with Christ, they're seeking the Lord in his strength and seeking his face continually, are not living in sin. I didn't say that people can't choose, and it's always a bad choice, but it's a choice, to sin again after they're saved. But the righteous, those that choose to continue with the Lord and endure to the end, are not going to allow any sin in their lives. They're going to confess it. They're not going to cover it. Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth or tries to hide or cloak his sin shall not prosper, but whosoever that is confesses and forsakes that sin, and that can only be done by the cross life,
beginning with sincere repentance,
is going to have mercy. That's the only way you and I can have mercy, if we abide in Christ. And that means we're obeying Christ. It's one thing to memorize a scripture or to learn it. It's another thing, and there's an eternity of difference, to obey that word. James 1:22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. I want you to memorize that scripture, dear beloved of God. Again, 2 Corinthians 7:1. Having therefore these promises that he just gave in the latter end of 2 Corinthians 6, where God says he's going to be your father if you meet the conditions. Let me say it again. If you meet the conditions that he is going to be their God, he's going to be your God. Listen, God's blessings, including salvation, are conditional, not unconditional. And I will be their God, verse 16, and they shall be my people. Who's he talking about? Those who are separating themselves from that which defiles them in his holy eyes. So anyone preaching a solution, or even preaching on sin without preaching the crucified life that Jesus ordained that we walk in order to follow him, otherwise we're not following him at all, Luke 9:23-24, they are misleading you, my friend. Today is my day and is your day to cry out afresh with John the Baptist. He must increase, but I must decrease. In other words, drive a stake in the ground and say and declare. And let me tell you, declaring and confession is Bible. Joshua 1:8, meditating and speaking the word. Let me say that. I understand that there are a lot of false teachers that have misused that confession. The problem is not confession. The problem is they're teaching their clown audiences, their pawns, to confess that they're going to get rich and they're going to get a big house and all of this stupidity. That doesn't negate the truth of confession, of speaking the word of God. You see, but you and I, as authentic disciples of Jesus, we declare the word of God in context, that today I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me, in the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Say it out loud, beloved. Galatians 2:20, you should have that one memorized. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law,
that would be the Bible, the Word of God,
shall not depart out of thy mouth. Did you hear that? Joshua 1 verse 8. This book of the law, that's the written word of God, shall not depart out of thy what? Mouth. You shall speak it, in other words. But thou shalt meditate therein in your heart, mulling over the words of God. You got to be filling your heart with the words of God. You're going to famish if you don't. Feasting on the word of God prevents you from famishing. We were warned in Amos 8:11 that in these final days in which we now live, there was going to be a famine in the land, not of food and water, but of hearing the words of God. But you've got the Bible, my friend, here in Mexico today and every day. I'm sharing with people how they can download the 1960 Reina Valera. That's the King James equivalent. In other words, the pure, real word of God for the Spanish-speaking people, and how they can get up and read it and fill their hearts full of the word of God as the spiritual nourishment of their life. Amen. 1 Peter 2:2. Desire, God tells us what to desire. It's a choice. Desire the sincere, the pure milk of the word, that you might grow thereby. Hallelujah. So Joshua 1:8, but this book, he says, this book of the law, the word of God, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, all the time, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Now, how are you going to observe the word of God to keep it if you're not speaking it and meditating on it? You're simply not. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now, did you hear me mention money? No, I'm not talking about money. God isn't talking about money right here. Now, the way you steward your money is a reflection of the priorities of your heart. But this isn't saying you're going to be prosperous and successful by making millions. No, it's not what it says at all. Jesus warned against being rich in this world, and so did the Apostle Paul. And the book of Proverbs, chapter 30, verse 8 and 9. Solomon, 1 Timothy 6. They that will be rich, they bring great harm upon themselves. Jesus said, how hardly shall those that go after and also have, just have riches in this world, enter into the kingdom of God? So he's not talking about money here. He's talking about prospering in your life in Christ. In fact, we read in 3 John verse 4, again, this is a verse that the frauds of our day, the false teachers, love to try to turn into money. That's not what he's talking about. The whole context is that he is so greatly rejoicing, the Apostle John, when he sees that those he is discipling are walking in the truth. I think the word truth appears like six times in the first few verses of 3 John. I want you to read that little book. It's one chapter. Verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And then verse 2, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper. What's the context? Prosper in walking out the truth of God. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. In other words, he wanted them to be blessed according as their soul prospered in the truth of Christ as they walked with him. Just like John the Baptist crying out, he must increase today, O Lord, increase in us, but I must decrease. You, my friend, and myself will never be raised upward until we die downward. That's the cross economy of the kingdom of God. We must surrender. That's what the cross is. Wait a minute, brother. I need to go put two beams together and drag around this wooden cross. And the heavier it is, the more I'm going to die to self and be blessed by God. Not false. Absolutely false. None of the apostles, nobody in the New Testament understood the cross to mean you got to go take up some couple of beams, one facing up and down and one facing horizontally, and drag it around with wheels on it or whatever. That's just ridiculous. I'm sorry if you've been misled, but that is totally ridiculous and not the will of God. In fact, we have a podcast on that. It's titled, Is Dragging a Wooden Cross Around Biblical? Just put in the search box on safeguardyoursoul.com, wooden, or the word wood, and it'll come right up. Jesus told no one to go carry a wooden cross around town to make him known. I mean, I think there's been guys that have dragged a wooden cross from one end of the United States or one coast to the other. No, Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Declare it. People are born again by the word of God, not by seeing you or me dragging some physical wooden cross around.
No, instead, according to the New Testament, the death, burial, and resurrection that we participate in daily, we're raised up out of that death and burial place to preach the word, to be instant in season and out of season. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's how we minister to people, not by some physical piece of wood that we drag around.
Why not just preach the gospel to them?
In fact, if we're truly walking with Christ and crucified with him, the resurrection, the raising up of Christ is propelling us to obey him, to preach the gospel to every creature. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, not to go drag any piece of wood around.
We're born again by the word of God. 1 Peter
chapter 1,
verse 23, we're born again by the word of God. How shall they hear without a preacher? Romans 10, 14, not somebody dragging a wooden cross around. And you may have done that if you're listening to me. You may have honored people and funded people that did that. You may have done it in a sincere heart, but it's absolutely misguided at best. So the cross life, what is it? It's not dragging a piece of wood around, beloved. It's surrender. My friend Billy, one day, he said, Todd, what is the cross? Can you explain it to me? And listen, let's let the Bible define the cross, not me. We've got three books on this cross message, although the cross is in every chapter and teaching of all the books. We've got three specifically on this topic. And by the way, we don't make money on the books. We spend a lot more money sending free books to prisoners every month than we do making a dividend, whatever they pay for the when people buy books on Amazon. And let me just say this, as you well know, many of you, that people aren't running to buy cross books. They're running to hear the frauds, just like the Bible foretold, that are going to tickle their ears. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2 through 4. They're not running to buy our books on the cross or exposing eternal security as a doctrine from hell. We make, I don't know, $10 to $50, rarely that much, a month on the books. I'm saying that because we're not just peddling books. We don't make money on the ministry. I have to contribute my own money for this ministry to work at this point.
So it seems most important to keep in mind that most of all, the books are full of the Word of God and a call to the believers, the disciples of Christ, to obey the Lord by denying themselves, taking up their cross, and following Jesus as an authentic disciple of his.
Anyway, let me just get that out there. The three books we have
concerning living the crucified life that Jesus mandates us to walk and live, here are the three titles of those cross books.
31 cross prayers. There's a cross prayer, biblical cross prayer, for every day of the month. Another one's called I Die Daily. Many lives have been changed from the scriptures in that book, and also Raised Up. Those are the three books that are available. Go to the store page on safeguardyoursoul.com, and it links to the Amazon platform or page for each of the books. And thank you for your prayers while I'm at it for the ministry, the Word of God, to have free course, to flow freely like divine Teflon into the beautiful hearts of these people down in Mexico. And let me tell you, it will spoil you real quick. All of us who love to do ministry, I dare you to come down here and then want to go back. These people, it's like handing out chocolate with a $1 billion coin. They just want to hear more. They receive, like today, dozens of tracts were passed out. Not one said no. Not one. They all received it, and you can tell by their own countenance that they know that this is exactly what is missing in their lives. It's beyond description, a field day for the gospel. By the way, Mexico is truly a free country. I didn't say there wasn't corruption in every country, but in my experience, compared to America, and I'm sure this is true for a lot of nations, Mexico is a free country. The government isn't trying to come hunt you down and kick your door down because you prayed, you're a grandma or grandpa, and you prayed at an abortion clinic. I'm going to stop right there. We're preaching the cross right now. He must increase, but I must decrease. Can you declare that today, beloved? That's a deep six, the death and burial, to the self-life. The self-life has never produced anything but shame and misery and guilt. We all know that. So let's declare today, you've got to do it yourself. I can't do it for you. And God wants you to do it from your heart in obedience to Him and worship-filled love for Him, declaring, I love you, Lord, with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Somebody says, what if I don't really love? You got to get started by speaking the word and asking Him to change your heart and give you a heart after God, just like He gave David. Amen. David said, seek, go after, search out, seek the Lord and His strength, seek His face continually. The Bible says that we're to set our affections on things above, not on the things of the earth. This is the heaven-bound remnant. This is exactly what they're doing. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. If ye then be risen with Christ, He raised you to life out of the disposition and a place of darkness, a place of sin and rebellion, the miry clay of iniquity. He translated you into the kingdom of His dear Son, the kingdom of light. Jesus is the light of the world. If you follow Him, He said, you will not walk in darkness, John 8:12. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Are you seeking those things which are above today, beloved? Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Don't you know Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father? He ever liveth to provide what He died to purchase. He wants you making all your requests to be known unto Him. And I want to encourage you, as I said earlier, to start with the prayer of, Lord, help me to love you more, Jesus. Please increase my faith. That's Bible. Both of those. Bible 101. Jesus commanded us to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. We already love ourselves. So the cross life is displacing that love or relocating it to God
and others,
not yourself. And that's the kind of people we see that are full of the overflowing joy of the Lord. Don't you want to be full of the love, joy, and peace of Christ? Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. There's another cross verse. I want you to say that. Today, I want to encourage you to say, Lord, I'm dead, and my life is hid with Christ in God. Hid from what? Hid or hiding you from the sin that used to ensnare you and so often beset you, Hebrews 12:1-2. Why?
Because you are now crucified with Christ. And
because you're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. But you've got to endure to the end for Him to finish that faith. It's not God that drops the ball. It's always us if the ball gets dropped. So for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ
in God.
It's also hidden from misery, shame, and guilt. Don't you just love Jesus? Isn't He so wonderful in His so great salvation? Hebrews 2:3. Verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye, who's that? Who's the ye? We'll get to that in a minute. Also appear with Him in glory. Back up. What's the context? Guess who He's coming for? He's going to appear, and you're going to appear with Him in glory because you're setting your affection on things above. If you're not, my friend, you're not enduring to the end, which Jesus said you must do to be saved into eternal glory. Matthew 10:22, Matthew 24:13, etc. Set your affection on things above, not on things here. That's who He's coming back for. Being crucified with Christ. Verse 3, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. And it's for these people who are meeting these conditions that He's coming back for, that He's going to appear, and they're going to appear with Him in glory. Then it says, mortify or crucify. That's the cross right there, my friend. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection. There will be no pornography person in glory. That's covered under the fornication. Any sexual deviancy and defilement is going to damn your soul. Fornication, uncleanness. You got to crucify all of that. Inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, which means secret desire for that which is forbidden of God. In other words, the earth, the world's people call it a fantasy. It's not a fantasy, it's sin, and God calls it evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which sake the wrath, eternal hell, of God cometh on the children of disobedience. It, right in the middle of these first six verses in verse 3, what did He say the solution was to this, to all sin? For you are dead and your life is hid. dead with Christ and God. You're dead and buried, not only just in words, but you've got to have that truth own you, and you got to own it. And the way you do that, as I said earlier, my friend Billy said, Brother Todd, what is the cross? And I think, if I remember correctly, I just hopefully started just going through scripture as we're doing right now. How about John 3:30? He must increase, but I must decrease. I want Jesus reigning in my life. I am dead, and my life is hid with Christ in God.
Let today be the day that we let go and let God. The cross is not trying harder. The cross is dying deeper. The depth or the deepness of the death and burial is going to determine the height of the resurrection in your personal life.
Again, as we come in for a landing here, beloved saints, you will not be raised upward till you die downward. That is an absolute original gospel truth. And gentlemen, many of you preach the gospel, and all of us that name the name of Christ, let's preach this cross. If you're in the ministry and you want us to send you a package of the cross books, and we're just going to trust God to provide, you go ahead and email me, info@safeguardyoursoul.com. Friends, it's not about me anymore. It's not about you. We're bought with the price of the precious blood of Christ. And so today is our day to let go and let God, let Him take over and watch what happens. Let the cross adventure begin in your life today by raising your heart and your hands and saying, Lord, I want you to take all of me. I want you to cleanse this filthy heart because you desire truth in the inward part to wash me clean. And I declare in obedience to you, and with your word, that you must increase in this life. You must increase, but I must decrease. I'm going to declare with the Apostle Paul, as he said in 2 Corinthians 1:9, Dear Lord, that my life is now sentenced to death, that you alone might be glorified in this life, that you gave and you died to redeem. But we had, Paul said, the sentence of death in ourselves. Did you ever read that verse? Did you realize that's in the Bible, 2 Corinthians 1:9? We got to sentence ourselves to death today. And that's when the resurrection comes. And when that starts hitting you, when the power of Jesus Christ, the Almighty God, is teeming in you, is filling you and moving through you to bless the body of Christ and the lost, you're going to shake your head. I continue to do and go, why did I ever resist this? This is the gospel. God answers death with resurrection. And He's going to answer it and reciprocally raise you up as you assign and resign yourself to being dead and buried with Christ. Romans 6, etc.
2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9.
But we had, Paul said, the sentence of death in ourselves. Why? That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead. So he replaced the false god of self by truly worshiping the Savior, who is worthy of all our praise and all of our worship.
So one of the things we see here in this magnificent truth and verse of 2 Corinthians 1:9 is that when we sentence ourselves to death, we're no longer going to trust in ourselves. Our faith is going to be in God. We're going to have faith in Christ. We're going to believe and trust the Lord in His resurrection promise. If we will but die and be buried downward with Christ. Romans chapter 6.
Let's pray something like this today, my friends, in Christ as we closed. Dear Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, you found and saved me, my wretched soul, into your eternal family. My life is no longer my own. It is all yours. It is no longer I that live, but Christ that liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Not my will, but thine be done, Lord Jesus. I am crucified with Christ. You must increase, Lord, but I must decrease in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.